This episode is brought to you by Progressive, a leader in boat insurance. Welcome aboard to Carefree Boating. Here, we don't worry about the what-ifs, because we explore with Progressive Boat Insurance for as little as $100 per year for a basic liability policy. Progressive also offers a variety of other coverages and can help you cover repair costs when you need it. And with discounts like multi-policy, safety courses, responsible driver, and more, your mind can really flow free. Cruise on over to Progressive.com to get a quote today and see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Rate and discounts not available in all states or situations.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable, a Wood Elf production with your hosts, Babyface Bob, Mature Mark, and Wizened Wade. This week, the wily whippersnappers wax lyrical about the wonders of the lesser-spotted Senex musculum homines. Yes, it's time for Old Men. Please prepare thy Zimmer frames and enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome once again to Distractable. I will be your host today. My name's Bob. If you're new here, that doesn't mean anything to you. And if you're not new here, you probably knew that already, because the host is the one who always... You know what? Why do I even say anything? Joining me on today's episode, as always, will be Mark and Wade. Say hi, boys.
Hello.
Hi, boys.
Hi,
oh, you
boys.
Meant to say hi in general. Hi.
Hi, boys.
I mean, that was kind of a test, and you both passed and failed at the same time, so...
Cool.
That's a success, really.
I feel like that's the theme of this whole podcast, is we pass and fail every test all the time.
What's that meme? Task failed successfully.
Exactly, yeah. You know, the launch of this podcast, failed successfully, you know. The continuation of this podcast,
It's almost meaningless to describe this podcast, but we're here, and we talk about stuff.
Mm.
And it's usually random. There's often a topic, and usually what we talk about barely relates to the topic in any way. So, I'm the judge, there's points... There's a winner. It's meaningless. The only thing we haven't had yet is a judge declaring themselves the winner of the episode. I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to start by saying not going there. But I expect that someday some judge, probably Wade, will end up declaring themselves the winner of their own episode just so that they can host again. I'm just guessing.
That is some truly ominous foreshadowing, and I have a bad feeling about it. I just want to say that.
I don't know why you think I would be the one to declare myself the winner. I'm so generous. I'm the only person who declared both of you the winners.
Yeah.
You've got so much magnanimosity.
Magnanimosity.
What was that word that you like so much?
Magnanimous.
I've got so many magnets.
You're so magnetic.
Yeah.
Anyway, how are you boys? I don't know why I'm calling you boys today, but apparently that's the move.
Hey, boys.
How's your week? How's your life?
Very good.
Whoa, that's not very good.
Oh.
Wait, which one of you said very good like that? Couldn't tell.
Not me.
That's Wade.
That must have been Mark.
No, it's not me.
Oh, no. Is that the ghost? Oh, God.
Yeah, must have been a ghost.
It's the mysterious fourth person in our Discord that is still there to this day.
I'm pretty good.
Oh, hey, Wade. Oh, yeah. Okay.
How are you?
I've been doing pretty good.
Nice.
I've been getting busy. I've been trying to get back into a nice schedule, you know, work efficiency, all this crap that no one cares about and people get mad about because I'm living my life better than anyone ever listening to this podcast.
Would you say you're living your best life?
I'm living my best life.
Well, that's really all you can ask for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing pretty good as well. Not pretty good, but like pretty good, like almost as high.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that means, but that's how I feel. Anyway, do you guys want to know the topic?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's almost meaningless, like I said, but I do have a topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I want to go with today's topic is we're old.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. It was recently my birthday, right? Uh-huh. So I'm feeling old. Mm. It's not like a huge deal. It's not like I get super negative or anything. But every time my birthday rolls around these days, I look at the number of years. I get on my calculator, do some math to figure out how many years ago I was born because I can never remember. And then I feel old. And it got me looking at, like, I don't know, maybe you guys don't feel this. Do you feel like there's stuff in your life, like from your childhood or from your experience growing up, that the younger generation is just never going to understand?
Well, life before phones.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
is this a topic or is this just a random, like, conversation?
This is kind of what inspired the topic, uh-huh. right? I found this BuzzFeed article uh-huh. that's clearly targeted at, like, our age group mm-hmm. of all this stuff that's like, kids, Zoomers will never understand. Uh-huh. Imagine setting a time to meet your friends at the movie theater, and then once you've left school or whatever, you have no way to contact them. All you know is we decided there's a movie that we called Movie Phone, and we learned is showing at 7:20 p.m. at our local whatever movie theater, and I'm just gonna show up. And God, I hope there's other people there. Mm. Kids these days, man, they'll never know what that's like.
You get everyone to print out, like, MapQuest directions to where you're gonna go.
Dude, I hated that. I always felt before a trip, if you print it out like a MapQuest, you're like, oh, I got directions. If you miss one fucking turn with printed out directions, you're so screwed.
Mm. Yeah.
The paper doesn't magically Harry Potter itself into a new map that's like, oh, you gotta loop around. You could turn. You miss a turn and it's like, oh, you should have turned left a mile ago. Good luck, idiot.
Well, that's why you're supposed to have, like, different maps and stuff, like whatever state you live in. Like, I remember my grandparents had, like, a full Ohio map and, like, Kentucky and Indiana, like, and whatever other states, just had maps in their car, like, on the door. So that way, if they did need a bigger map, they would just reach in, pull one out, like, pull off at a gas station, like, look that up. Or else you go into a gas station. I think you could either buy or just get for free. They would have, like, paper maps in a lot of the gas stations that you could grab.
Okay, but honestly, that's not a bad idea, even to this day, because I've had many situations where I'm pulling up my phone's GPS and it does not load because I'm in a low internet area. Yeah. What are you going to do? You're back in the stone ages of 1990. You got to have a paper map.
I have to say, my parents always had maps in the cars.
Mm-hmm.
I have never in my life had a paper map of any sort anywhere near me.
Yeah.
Like, I've never used one. That's probably a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Same with jumper cables and spare tires. Those are so, like, 30 years ago to have in your car.
I think those are probably still useful.
Yeah, I still have those.
I don't know how long it takes to charge a dead Tesla off of a 12-volt car battery.
12-volt.
I'm not sure if that would work.
You get your AA, you put it into your Tesla, and you're good to go. Yeah.
Man, can I bitch about this for a second? Because I have a Tesla.
No way.
And, I went away to Texas. And did I talk about this? Like, it ran out of battery because it was plugged in, but it blew a fuse, so it didn't charge the entire time I was gone. So it died.
Oh.
And the 12 volt died. I didn't even know there was still a 12 volt in a Tesla because there's a giant honking battery there. Why does it need the 12 volt? I'm sure there's some legacy car systems that are, like, regulated to need that battery in there, but it died. And you know how those car batteries are. Once they die, they're kind of dead forever. You need to, like, go get it replaced. Mm. And to do that is an impossibility in a Tesla because it's not built for that. So I had to get an appointment and I had to schedule it literally a month and a half in the future. So my car has been telling me that at any moment it could shut down because the 12 volt might die. And it's like, what do I do?
That was like a modern convenience.
Yeah,
that does.
Modern convenience, all right.
Kids these days will never understand the trouble that you just dealt with, Mark.
Kids these days. Because they'll never be able to afford it because job security going into the future and the minimum wage will never get risen. You Gen Zers are doomed just like us millennials. We're all fucked.
In like 20 years, there's just a bunch of Gen Z people sitting around like, you remember when people used to own cars?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
You remember when home ownership wasn't a pipe dream? Do you remember?
God, you remember when we didn't live in a dystopian hellscape?
Mm.
My parents had it so easy.
Yeah. I mean, easy for me to say. I own a home and I have a Tesla, so I'm not really representative of millennials as a whole.
Oh.
People should revolt against me. Fucking hypocrite.
No, absolutely. I'm part of the Hollywood elite. I have a house. It's not fair.
You have a house, the Hollywood elite.
Yeah.
God.
I'm not barely surviving, so I feel very superior, I must say.
Yeah.
I'm part of the Cincinnati suburban elite.
Is that a thing?
I don't know what that exactly means, but I've got at least like 5 grocery stores within 20 minutes of my house.
Is that like a Facebook group or something?
Yeah. Facebook.
Y'all just talk about how you saw a 90s Honda Civic in your neighborhood and you're really concerned about the type of people that are hanging around.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen.
I'm listening.
I have a lot of memories, I guess, from childhood that I feel like are gone. And I'm not like sad that they're gone, but did you guys ever get to hang up the phone angrily on someone with like a landline telephone where you get to slam it down? Do you ever do that?
Yeah. I remember cordless phones. I never went from a corded phone to having like 3 cordless phones in the house. It was like, oh, wow, we have one in like 2 different rooms.
And they were always dead because no one ever put them back on the charger right. It was always a little crooked. And so it was just dead. And then you just don't have a phone.
Uh-huh.
And so you have to go to like the back office or the guest room in the house where the old landline corded phone is sitting and use that one. Yeah, no, old technology is awesome, man.
I slammed the phone on the police once.
Oh shit, dude.
Yeah, man.
What'd they do?
I was 6, right? Well, they pissed me off. That's what it was. 6-year-old me, full of rage. I slammed that shit down. No, of course, it's like my brother and his friends told me to dial 911 on the phone. And so I do that, not knowing what 911 was or what it would do. And so when I dial it and I hold the phone up to my ear, and remember, I'm 6, this, you know, 911 operator answers and like,
hello, 911, what's your emergency?
And I go like, wham, and I slam it down. And, you know, I do that. But the problem is when that happens, they call back.
Yeah.
And so when the phone starts ringing, I just like, my heart drops into my stomach. I stare and sweat just starts falling down my forehead. And I pick up the phone and I go, hello? And he's like,
sir, do we need to send officers to your house right now? This is an emergency line.
And I'm getting like lectured by a 911 operator. I'm just like, I start crying like immediately. And then I slam the phone again. And I was like, it's super epic.
6-year-old Mark just blubbering. Like, fuck the police. Got him. They never called back.
They were so scared. They were shaking. I know this. Actually, they called back right away again. And so I picked up the phone and I listened. It was like,
this is not the line for prank calls. Like, we're going to send an officer down.
And I run up the stairs to my mom, and my mom gets on the phone and just starts screaming at them. It was like, my son is 6 years old. Like, it's just an accident. Shut the fuck up. Like, mom, you know.
Yeah.
I don't remember what my mom said.
I kind of imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What a rebel.
Mm. I remember good old dial-up internet, deciding between whether I wanted to call my friends or be online, waiting for the like to dial up and then connect the internet for a bit. And they're like, even the pre like instant messenger days, I think, where it wasn't like you'd hop online and chat with your friends on the internet. It was like, yeah, I'm gonna get online and load up. I guess you could like type them like in Diablo 2 or something like that. But god, having to decide between the phone lines and like your family like, get off the internet, I need to use the phone.
Man, well, I never had friends, so it was never a problem for me. It was the internet all the time.
Did you ever use the AOL kids like interface, like the kids only?
No.
Thing.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's special. I'm trying to put a picture. I mean, you Google it. I'm not gonna set it.
Google what?
America Online Kids Interface.
Kids Interface.
I'm trying to send a picture, but I'm apparently technology illiterate. I can't.
You are getting older.
Do it. Oh,
you,
man.
You can't do anything, man.
None of this looks familiar to me.
I'm not finding it. I'm not finding it. No.
What?
Well, I never had AOL. We didn't do AOL.
What? You didn't have? How'd you get on the internet?
I mean, we had something else. I don't know. My dad had a modem and some other thing. You didn't have to have AOL.
We had AOL, but we never did anything with the kids stuff.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know that there was another way to get on the internet at that point in time. I thought it was just AOL. You remember all those AOL discs?
Yes, the free trial discs that you get 1,000 hours. And I don't know how they put 1,000 hours on a floppy disk. Listen, no one listening to this knows what the fuck we're talking about.
The Sims games back in the day. I don't know if you remember installing The Sims, but if you had like their Sims and the expansions, there was like a booklet telling you what order you had to install them in, and there was like 15 discs you had to go back and forth on.
God. Oh yeah.
Like reinsert disc one.
Reinsert? Why didn't you finish with disc one? Yeah. What's wrong with you?
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade is your plan today at Mint Mobile? For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, a leader in boat insurance. Welcome aboard to Carefree Boating. Here, we don't worry about the what-ifs, because we explore with Progressive Boat Insurance for as little as $100 per year for a basic liability policy. Progressive also offers a variety of other coverages and can help you cover repair costs when you need it. And with discounts like multi-policy, safety courses, responsible driver, and more, your mind can really float free. Cruise on over to Progressive.com to get a quote today and see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Rate and discounts not available in all states or situations.
Just because you're growing older doesn't mean you can't have fun. I've got a
retirement
story.
Retirement homes, people have sex a lot.
I mean, pretty much. That's not my story, but you're right.
Oh, I thought I was contributing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I call this Grandma's Boneless Water Park Adventure.
Oh, what the hell?
It sounds like we do have the same story.
Yeah.
I was looking up and I found this article that the headline just grabbed me because it was Rogue Grandma Breaks Bones on Slide After Sneaking Into Water Park at 2 a.m.
Oh, God.
And I mean, legitimately, it just was captivating because not only did they say a rogue grandmother and her friend broke their legs after sneaking into a water park at 2 a.m. during a drunken night out, but the fact that this grandma, okay, so grandma, right? What are you picturing?
Like an older lady, like maybe a little hunched over, maybe walks with a cane, whatever. Like an older woman who's kind of slow.
I'm picturing a lady with a walker, smoker, who's got like her chain cheeks smoker. Are sagging so low, they're like 3 or 4 inches below her bones of her cheeks.
If you guys didn't know, the band Chainsmokers is actually just two grandmas on like little walkers.
Two grandmas on jazzy scooters that zoom around on stage.
Her fingers have lost all muscle mass. They're just bones with flesh. And when she points, her hand shakes a bit.
No. This is what it is. UK woman Claire Vickers, 46.
Oh, well, okay.
And friend Barry Douglas, 44. Now, if that doesn't make you feel old that someone can be a grandma at age 46 and before, like not so many years ago, that was probably commonplace, you know, that'll make you feel old. But they were having fun. They may be crotchety old 46-year-old people, but they were having fun. They got stuck in a water slide flume for 2 hours with fractured shins and shattered feet before they were rescued.
God dang.
The pair had snuck into Aldershot Lido Water Park early August. The drunken duo splashed water down the slide from the top in a bid to generate lubrication and speed before stepping into the slide. But their drunken ride soon became a nightmare when they slammed into a barrier towards the bottom.
Oh, no.
Their legs collided with the barrier blocking the exit, shattering their feet upon impact and fracturing one's shin. Vickers described the incident as like a scene out of the horror film Saw. Oh.
We've talked about how I have a thing about lower leg injuries, right?
Oh, man, this must have been horrific.
God. That sounds terrible.
You want to play a game? Yeah. Go down this water slide.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that sounds fun.
I mean, that just sounds like, I'm just imagining like two drunk people at the top of a water slide with like, they both have like a bottle of water.
Yeah.
Like one little bottle, and they're like, this will be enough. It just needs to be a little wet, right?
If you want to live, hold my beer.
Oh, no, it says in the article. I found the article.
You found the article.
They wriggled their way under a fence and Miss Vickers poured water from a foot bath down the water slide.
Why did they have a foot bath?
So they brought with them a little foot tub of water and they're like, ah, this will work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of water. I couldn't even drink this much water all at once.
She's
way better than a bottle of water.
She is a grandma after all, so she had to bring her foot bath with Epsom salt straight up this water slide. And they must have climbed up far if the speed caused them to shatter their feet upon impact. I mean, that's also like, why the hell was there a barrier blocking the exit? Did they like close that down? But not at the top. They don't close it at the top. They close it at the bottom.
That seems so dangerous.
Well, did they go down an actual water slide, or did they go down like a log flume thing? What did they actually go down?
It said water slide.
There's a picture of what looks like regular water slides, but it does say log flume.
No, it said there's a picture here. It says they went
down the flume's tubes.
They went down the yellow slide in this picture.
Okay, yeah. Which is just like a fully enclosed straight down water slide situation. It's like not that big.
Maybe like 20, 25 feet.
Yeah, not super big.
Not huge. Enough to get some speed, no doubt. Like, as a kid, I've gone down some pretty slippery slides, and you pick up some speed.
Yeah, well, with how much water they put in it, they were definitely cruising. A whole foot bath's worth. See, you have a point, though. Whoever closed that, let me just make a suggestion. If you operate a water park, maybe you put the barrier at the top of the water slide instead of creating essentially a human fly trap where if some idiot happens to go down, they will both be severely injured and trapped at the bottom of a 40-foot long pipe that they can't climb out of.
Yeah, God.
What they should have done is put a loop there at the bottom.
Yeah. Man, can you imagine if, like, they were there with a bunch of their friends and, you know, they get down to the bottom and they crash and their other friends up top because of the way the tube is? It sounds like screams of elation and hilarity. Yeah. And so they're like, oh, yeah, our turn. And then their friends slide down and slam into the people at the bottom. And then the other friends at the top, and then they just keep going down. And then the cops that come by to investigate, they're like, whoa, water slide. It's already lubed with a foot bath. It's worse. And then they slide down. And then at the bottom of the tunnel, it just, like, crams more and more and more.
The police are there to investigate. They're like, ooh, water slide.
See the headline now. Drunken idiots create non-surgical human centipede. That's rough.
Oh, have you ever been on a water slide and you managed to stop yourself? I don't know why, but as a kid, I always tried to stop myself when I was going down. And I did this until the horrible experience of having someone actually slam into the back of me.
Ow.
When I was stopped in the middle of one. It was one of the ones, like, in that picture, it's kind of like to the right where it's kind of loop-de-loop and you don't go as fast. But me and slides didn't mix.
I only did the water slide one time. I only went to the water park like a couple times, but I only did water slides like once. And the open top ones were okay, but that like claustrophobia feeling combined with like the water hitting me in the face and like pushing at my contacts and stuff and just feeling like I had no control. I did not enjoy the tubed water slide at all.
Mm.
I only did that like one time. I never did that again.
Mark, you were one of those kids who ruined water slides for me.
I did, yeah.
I had the opposite problem. I've always been big. Even when I was a kid, I was big, tall dude, big dude. That means a lot of surface area, right?
Sure.
And so at our local pool, there was a slide that was just like, you know, 20 feet up maybe. You go down one little twist around and then you go in the water. If I didn't like from the top do like a jumping swing, throw myself in at full speed and like aerodynamic, like lift my butt up off the slide with my feet and try and maximize my slipperiness.
Yeah.
I would get stuck unintentionally. But like that was the game, right?
Right.
Kids would always try and stop and goof around, and so the lifeguard at the top of the slide was always like, "Hey, don't stop! Don't stop! Keep sliding! I'm gonna ban you!" And so I would get stuck sometimes, and they would yell down like, "Don't stop!" And I'm down there scooting like, "I'm not trying to stop! I'm just trying to have fun!" You ruined that for me. You made those lifeguards so jaded they didn't even know that I was just a fat kid stuck in the slide.
You're right. It was all me. It's my fault.
You bastard.
I take full responsibility for all of that.
I've blamed you for that for my entire life. It feels good to get it off my chest.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Even before I knew you.
I mean, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank welcome you.
The dumb thing I did with pools, we didn't have a water slide, but like my mom had a pool when I was elementary age, I guess. Elementary school age.
Well, Richie Rich over here.
Yeah, rich man over here with all the money.
Yeah, well, you know, we had 15 water slides in all actuality.
Well,
just decided not to use them. But no, what we would do, we had these like, what are they called? The floaty things you lay on. What the hell are those things called?
Inflatables? Pool toys?
Yeah, I guess so. But like these weren't like the actually inflatable. They were made of some kind of material where you didn't like put air into them. but they would float and like they would hover if you laid on it just under the surface of the water. So like there'd be a layer of water that would like hit your back.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw those as an opportunity to have like, oh, we have like surfboards in our pool. So we would jump off the side and try to like stand on them and like surf them.
Yeah.
Which in hindsight probably should have led to some broken necks and deaths, but never did for us, thankfully. I don't know how.
Broken necks and death.
Yeah. We would try surfing on those. And I remember we had a friend who agreed to do a belly flop for some reason off the diving board. Mm. And when he went to do the belly flop, we slid one of those in front of him.
God.
So he belly flopped onto that.
So you're an asshole. Not only are you rich, but you're an asshole.
Wow.
Yeah. Worst. Yeah. Unbelievable. We were filthy, filthy rich.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a swimming pool growing up. You were at least a thousandaire.
Hey, I never had a swimming pool in my life. Yeah. I've only ever been able to go public swimming pools like a peasant.
Yeah.
Like- So sad. All right. Listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and spark more stories. I like that story, Mark. In my head, I gave you points.
Thank you.
Both for the title.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And for
that.
The grandma mislead.
Yeah.
And then for the disgusting injuries that those people suffered for being morons. So points.
Uh-huh.
How many points for my wealth and cruelty?
You already have enough. You don't need points. You have everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Watch where your belly flop, Bob. I'll be there.
You youngsters out there, you'll never understand this. But you fellow old people, did you guys ever find... I have done this, and it's a great victory. Did you ever find quarters in the change return of a payphone?
Oh.
Did you ever mine the mysterious gold of a payphone and receive your reward?
That is such an obscure reference that I feel like a lot of people know about because it's such a strange experience. But yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And it would never exist today again.
Old vending machines. I remember we used to go around, we'd press like the coin return button.
Yeah.
Like a little like metal thing you could push. We'd always push those on vending machines and stuff to see if coins would come out. Occasionally you'd get lucky.
That's so satisfying.
Yeah, but, and the weird thing was occasionally it did work. Like you did get coins back.
Yeah.
Growing up, our town had a rec center, which was like, there was a pool, there was a gym, it was like a local community center. And there was like a kid's place, which was kind of for like middle school, high school kids. You could hang out. They had, you know, board games. There was like a guy there sort of watching. So it was like a safe place to hang out that wasn't at home. So after school, we would walk over there a lot and hang out. And they had those vending machines. And man, when you push down that big metal lever and it clunks, and then you just hear like at the bottom, and you're like, yes,
oh my god,
I'm getting a Twix. God damn.
God, weirdly, the sound of that, the clinking of coins. Like, when's the last time I held a coin? Like, going to the arcade or something, and you go to the change machine, or it's like, you know, it's not always quarters, but sometimes it's tokens. But either way, you put a bill in, and then ka-ching, ching, ching, ching. Like, that's the most magical sound. That, like, I love that sound. It's taking me right back.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Not only do you hear it, like, sliding down, but you hear it, like, hit the pile of other coins.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's definitely going. No, you know what, though? Literally 2 days ago, I used a vending machine with a quarter. We were at Costco. We did a bunch of shopping, you know, grocery trip sort of stuff. On the way out of Costco, they have those vending machines where you can, it's like 25 cents for a bottle of like, you know, Kirkland, whatever, bottled water. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have anything with us. We didn't have a drink. And we were both kind of like, Mandy and I were there together. We were both kind of like thirsty. And she looked at it and was like, oh, I really want a drink. And I was sad because I was like, I think I have cash. And I opened my wallet. I don't have cash.
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell has cash? Everything, credit card or pay with your phone. But Mandy had a dollar bill.
Wow.
And I put it in, and it gave me a water and three quarters back. It was very nostalgic to, like, use a vending machine, not just, like, touch my phone to it, and it's all beep, boop, here's your shit.
Dude, this is what I'm talking about, like, the physicality in the world. Like, I think that's something that people are not just missing, but it's kind of coming back around, because Polaroids kind of came back a little bit.
Mm.
They kind of peaked and plateaued in terms of popularity, but there's something very, very, like, important about tangibility. And this harkens back to when I bought, like, a silver bar offline, because I was like, you know, when I first got money and I was like, I don't know what an investment is really. And I was like, maybe I'll buy silver because that seems like a thing that I'll do. But I bought a silver bar and it was just like a 1 ounce little tiny little tablet.
I remember that actually. That was when you still lived in Cincy.
Exactly. Yeah.
I remember that.
I kept it in my wallet because when I pulled it out and I like felt it, there was something, I don't know if it was just like me in my brain, but maybe that's all you need. That's all it really is. But I felt it and I felt value. And I don't know how to translate translate that. But when I touched it, when I held it, I looked at it, and I was like, this has value. And I was just like, holy shit, that's crazy that like this feels this way. I know it's just because like I psychologically attributed to that, but that also applies to different things like the Polaroids. Like I have some Polaroids that I've taken on adventures, quote unquote, like excursions. That's a big word for it.
Don't judge yourself. Use your language.
I went outside in the world and then I went on this broad adventure, like glorious expedition. And I had a Polaroid and I cherished that Polaroid above all the other professional pictures or phone pictures that were taken that day. I keep it with me. That's because it's like it's important. I don't know. Has value.
Yeah, there is something about that. I have a similar thing. I don't have a Polaroid camera, but we had a couple years ago, we had friends over and one friend had a Polaroid camera and was just snapping pictures. And they took a picture of Lexi, our dog, just like sitting on the couch, just kind of being cute, whatever. And they snapped the picture and they handed it to me. And like, I have 100 pictures of my dog in my phone and Mandy has hundreds, thousands, who knows? She loves taking pictures. But that one Polaroid, there's something about the idea that like the actual photons or whatever, the light hit that film. It's a physical manifestation of that moment where our dog, who's not going to live forever, you know, she's fine. She's not like sick or anything, but it's like holding that picture for the rest of my life, and I have coveted it. And it's like, it's not, you know, Polaroids aren't like great quality pictures. They can be fuzzy. It's pretty low contrast. It was like Lexi's a gray and white dog and she was laying on a dark blue blanket on a gray couch. So like, it's not an amazing picture, but there is something absolutely about that. I totally get why that and other trends kind of like in that vein of Polaroids are coming back, of like tangible things that's completely unnecessary, right? You could take the exact same picture on a phone and it'd probably look better, but the physical thing, I get that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It's nice.
Other than the Polaroid, do you remember like just family photos in general? My grandma always had like, what was it, Kodak, Canon? And like, you didn't get instant feedback on what those photos would look like. So it's like, you'd all get together for a family picture, smile, take like two photos. You have to go to like Walgreens or CVS, develop the whole roll.
I mean, just like the concept that you could redo things, because it's so easy on a phone to be like, oh, I don't like that picture. But with a little disposable camera, it's like, that is that picture. Whether or not you were good in the picture, that picture exists. And if you develop that photo, like it will be. And what it is in that moment. And I think that's what's beautiful about those kind of things and Polaroids in general. It's like, you can't really redo that picture. You can take another one, but the picture that you took, no matter what you looked like in the picture, is that picture, and it exists, and it can't be deleted unless you burn it. And it's like, it's kind of one of those things where you have to acknowledge its existence and that that picture exists, because it does. Once you take it, it exists,
and it can't be Photoshopped. You can't put filters or whatever, you know, stickers and things on it. Man, they still do like school pictures, I assume, right? Kids go into school and they do picture day or whatever for like yearbook purposes.
I think so.
I'd imagine.
But my parents used to, when we were kids, every couple of years, they would do like a me and my brother picture session at like Sears, you know, you like book the photographer at the department store and you go in and you wear a nice outfit and they like pose you on some blocks or whatever. And it was like childhood pictures of like me and my little brother just sort of sitting there. That's weird. I feel like that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah.
We actually had physical stickers that they sold. We have one family album where we visited like family in like West Virginia or something, where like on the photos, we put physical stickers on the pictures that were like you could use to decorate your photos.
Like what, like sunglasses and mustaches, or just like things to put around the edges of the picture?
Yeah, just it was literally random stuff. Like some of them were like little speech bubbles where you could write something and like put it on there, or like there were predetermined words or like whatever.
That's pretty funny. I never saw that. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Music's another topic that is different now. Having to listen to like even pre-CDs and CD players we had to carry around.
Hit clips!
The cassettes.
Hit clips!
Well, cassettes. Like you used to have to rewind your music. If you wanted to listen to something, you had to either flip it to the other side of the cassette or rewind it. And to find a specific song, you'd have to fast forward or rewind to listen to that song.
Hit clips!
And that's, dude, hit clips.
I don't remember what the fuck hit clips is.
You don't know what hit clips is?
I never had that.
I never even had a hit clip.
Now that I see a photo of it, it looks familiar. It's like a little tiny boombox looking thing with like little, I'm guessing those are one song per little cassette thing.
Yeah, it's like little shitty plastic cartridges that you carry around. They're like keychains, and you put it in your hit clips player, and it plays that one song.
I don't even even know if it was the full song. I think it might have just been a little bit of the song. Like, it's so funny because it's like technology. It's barely what they could have possibly done. Like, the most disposable little chewable piece of this thing. You could never duplicate it. You can't like re-record it. You can't cassette player it. And it's so useless. Like, it's incredibly useless. Like, I found another picture. I'm posting a picture on our Discord. You guys at home can't see it, but you can Google it yourself or whenever we get the website.
Oh my God. It's just a huge pile of hit clips. Yeah. Like 80 or more hit clips.
I never had a hit clips, but I feel like hit clips like dug a psychological hole into the middle of the millennium. Like them and Pogs and Tech Decks and shit like that. All the miniaturized little toys. Like, it made no sense. Are these hit clip earrings? Oh my God.
So talking about music though, music is an interesting one, right? Yeah. This may be obscure or it may not be. I can't tell. Did you guys ever do, so Pizza Hut had this thing where it was like, order a large two topping and you can create your very own mixed CD. You can pick the tracks from our list of tracks and then we'll burn the CD and it will come with your pizza. Did you guys ever do that?
What?
I don't remember that at all. No.
What the hell is that?
I had like two or three of these where it was like, while you were ordering a pizza, you also could select a track list of like 10 to 12 tracks, like a CD-ish length. And it was literally like, they would burn a CDR, they would print a label for it that was like Bob's Pizza Mix or whatever you called it, and then with your pizza you would get a CD mixtape thing, and that, and like that was unbelievable to me, because up to that point you lived in a world of, you have to buy an entire CD. If you like one song, you buy the whole CD, and then you learn what other songs that artist has done, because you're like, oh, I've never heard this wasn't on the radio.
Yeah,
what the hell is The Beat Goes On by Britney Spears? What is that song? But like, also I feel like younger generations, I don't know if you guys did this, will never understand the bonding of like, I didn't have a good Walkman when I was a kid, but I used to have friends who had, or Discman, who had like good CD players that you could walk around with that had anti-skip and stuff, and you'd split headphones, right? We would be like, oh, let's walk around the neighborhood, like, let's just hang out, we'll split the headphones, we'll listen to this CD, and then, you know, maybe we'll head back home, we'll switch to another CD. I feel like no one in the MP3 era is gonna get that, because why would you do that? Even if you wanted to listen to music with somebody, you both have like your own, you know, wireless earbud, whatever, your AirPods or whatever, you're not gonna like share. I don't know, it's just like a different thing. We used to just share headphones all the time on the school bus, walking around, just listen to like a whole CD front to back and just like walk around the neighborhood and talk about shit. That's like such an image from my childhood.
I think even the concept of an MP3 is starting to become lost, because on all the streaming services, you know, and all the music services on your phone, they're not called MP3s anymore. It's not an MP3 player, they're just songs. Right. And yeah, there's different like quality levels of it, but like the concept of putting an MP3 on an MP3 player, even the thing after CDs, that's lost. That's not really a thing anymore. So even these incremental steps of technology are becoming overridden.
Pre-YouTube, pre-Twitch, it was like MTV. You had to watch MTV to see music videos.
That's true.
Dude, I remember the first MP3 player I got. It was a little plastic thing, had no built-in memory. It took two AA's, didn't have like a rechargeable battery, changed the batteries in it. I had one SD card that, I swear to God, I think it was 32 megabytes. It could hold like six songs. And I used to sit at home on my computer and very carefully like, okay, I've got Aerosmith. I need something lighter. I need like pop music. I have six songs. This is what I have to listen to for the whole day today. I really got to narrow this down and make the right choices. And then like the batteries didn't even last the whole day. Yeah. You know, if I brought it to school or listened to it on the walk to school or whatever, the batteries lasted like maybe as long as six songs.
Yeah.
But it was barely an MP3 player. Now, you know, even when iPods, the advent of the original iPod came out, I think the original iPod was measured in like gigabytes, right? Uh-huh. And it was like, hey, you have 10,000 songs. I remember even that. I was like, what the who owns that much music? Where do you even get it? The other day I saw a tweet from someone that was like, oh my God, Adele put out a new song. And 2 seconds later, I was listening to it on my phone, streaming it. No barrier to anything.
Yeah.
Aside from issues with platforms, certain platforms having whatever exclusive artists, like everything being everywhere is so wild. Mm-hmm. I feel like music was such a thing in my childhood and it's just so different.
That's why vinyl is coming back. Like, it's such a retro technology, but the reason it comes back is because it's so tangible. Mm-hmm. when you remove any of the tangibility to anything, like even music, like, which is just an auditory thing, like in the air, but music, like with a vinyl, you can actually touch the music. You can see the physical imprint of that music. The waveform is there in the vinyl. And it's kind of crazy to think about, but it's also reasonable because people need the connection to the physical world. We are physical creatures after all, until our brains get uploaded to the great computer in the sky and we all become one in the cloud.
Can't wait for that.
But for now, you know, we can touch music through vinyl and we can touch memories through photos like Polaroids. And then we can touch money sometimes, you know, money, whatever it is, you know, whatever. But, you know, tangibility, it's important.
We all have a kiddie pool with at least 10 grand sitting in our guest bedroom, right? or maybe at your, like, your vacation house for fun.
Right.
No, we spent all of our money having a pool growing up. So I don't have a kiddie pool as an adult.
You spent all your wealth too early, you fool.
You fool. You need the generational.
At the mere age of 7, I'd spent all my wealth.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at IKEA-USA.com/circular. Visit IKEA-USA.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Before, like, Amazon and everything, I remember when eBay first started becoming, like, a popular thing where people could go and buy stuff. But, like, if you wanted a CD player, whatever, it's like you had to get an empty disc and burn it. Mm-hmm. And usually it was because you downloaded songs on, like, Kazaa or, you know, one of those torrent sites.
Yeah.
But it was, like, literally you had to go shopping. Like, going to the mall was a hangout. Like, I remember my ex and I, it's like we used to go to the malls and walk around all the time.
Uh-huh.
And now it feels like malls are ghost lands.
Mm-hmm.
Comparatively, well, sometimes, especially during the pandemic, but even before that. But do you guys remember the old consoles, the discs you had to have, but like cheat codes, disc cleaners, like what was it, Dr. Disc or something? If your disc got scratched, you had to like put it through this process of trying to repair your disc.
Oh yeah, like you put it in and crank it, yeah, and it like buffs out your disc.
I never used one of those. I thought it was bunk.
Shark, Cheat Central, what was Cheat CC, Cheat Code Central, Planet Cheat, and all that stuff, where you get like your up, down, left, right,
yeah,
whatever.
Dude, yeah, printing. I used to print out like walkthroughs of levels.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and I remember I had a sheet. There was like the holy sheet of GoldenEye like codes, right? Because you could turn, you know, you could turn on, and I forget how it worked in GoldenEye. Did you unlock the ability to just turn cheats on and off, or did you have to do inputs?
I don't remember.
I think you could put in codes or something, but it would like permanently unlock it. So
right.
You could like just go to a cheat menu and enable or disable like paintball mode and all that.
Yeah.
There was like one of my buddies had GoldenEye and it had everything unlocked. And one of my other buddies had the sheet,
yeah,
of all the codes that was like, someone has a cartridge without all the cheats unlocked.
Mm.
We got to get the sheet from this dude and go over and unlock all his. Yeah. Mm. That's a special.
Nah, that's crazy.
I remember invincibility mode, unlimited ammo, playing as minion and Twisted Metal, where I got my username.
Dude, big head mode.
Mm. Yeah, big head, paintball.
All right, so this is another one.
Yeah.
I don't know how universal this was. I was never allowed to have a TV in my room. I was always jealous because I had some friends who were allowed to have TVs in their rooms. But in our house as a kid, we had like a little quote unquote portable TV, which is like a little 15 pound, incredibly heavy and awkward thing that you could move around because there was a handle on top of it. And it was like a little tiny black and white 4-inch screen, like impossible to get a clean picture on it, but it could get the broadcast stations, right? So I have vivid memories of watching, like when I was a kid, watching like the Nagano Olympics.
Yeah.
I would sneak into my parents' closet and snatch up the TV and like prop it up on my bed under the comforter and watch the Olympics late into the night because it was in, you know, on the other side of the world, far away. Or like Saturday morning cartoons. Mm-hmm. You wake up on Saturday, you flick on the little portable TV thing, get the tuning right for the, I think it was ABC, that intro that would play with the little Rube Goldberg device machine things going in and out of the schoolhouse. I don't know. Maybe this is just me, but I was that little portable TV or like the little handheld TVs later on, right? I had friends who got those.
We didn't have that. We had a TV that probably weighed more than a 70 inch now, and it was like a 16 inch little box TV. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching probably like 1995 or 96. I remember being a kid and watching Michael Jordan playing like for the Bulls one of his last few years and stuff on this little tiny box TV that probably weighed more than I did because those TVs were so fucking heavy.
I have no relation to this because I was too poor. Therefore, I'm going to segue into something that I have prepared that is completely unrelated.
I don't watch TV. So.
Yeah, I don't watch TV, but I've got even like, how do I tangent to this? This is what's going to happen to you if you watch too much TV.
I went searching for the truth, and like a fool, I found it. But some truths are best left undiscovered.
Well, I turned around and there was. It's bigger than I could have imagined.
The hikers claim that when they turned around, it seemed as though their friend had simply vanished.
When I turned around, my whole farm was gone.
I don't believe in ghosts. But when I turned around, I couldn't explain what I was seeing.
This is Morbid Mysteries of the Missing Millennium. Viewer discretion is advised.
I found it again.
Tired of hearing you turn around.
It's an intro. Man ejaculates from anus, urinates feces for 2 years before seeking help.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, are you curious?
I remember being a kid, and I remember today's kids wouldn't understand.
The reason this is tangential is because we're all in our 30s, and this man, 33, turned up for medical care after experiencing pain in one of his testicles for the previous 5 days. He also said he had been passing a substantial amount of urine and sperm from his rectum over the previous 2 years.
Doctor, I got some pain in my balls. Also, for 2 years, I've been shitting semen and pissing shit.
That is exactly what the story is. That's exactly it. It's like the joke we had before. It was like, well, you know, you got some slight ball pain. Also, you're shitting sperm out your ass. And it's just like, this title grabbed me so much and I had to work it in because it's so fascinating. And the doctors, I got a quote from the doctors. The doctors at the University of Texas described the case as unique and curious.
What a bunch of tactful doctors.
You know that they went home, they fucking violated their oath. They went home, they were like, honey, you'll never guess what I got to do today.
I'm sorry, what oath?
I had a case of the semen shitters.
What oath do you think that doctors take that prevents them from talking about cases that they've worked on? Do you mean HIPAA?
Yeah.
Because that's not really how HIPAA works.
Yeah, no,
you can't go home and just talk about your patient.
No, we don't know the name. You can talk about the case itself. We don't know the name.
Oh, they went home, they were like, Thomas B.
Semen Shitter. God, he came in. I should have known by the name.
He's 47. He lives at 123 Hockerly Lane. Did you know he shits urine?
You might be right that they're not supposed to. It's not part of the Hippocratic Oath, far as I understand it. But
that's to do no harm.
They definitely do.
Yeah.
Doctors absolutely talk about the crazy shit that happens.
Yeah. It's just like this such a weird case because this guy comes in after 2 years. Like, imagine you were shitting semen for 2 years and you were pissing shit.
Yeah.
And you decide to come in only when your balls start hurting. Like,
You know what? I'm going to give you that this is connected because this is how it feels to me getting older.
Yeah.
I haven't had anything quite this crazy, but like right when I was a kid, even through like my 20s, you get sick and it's like, oh, I got this cough. It went away. I don't know. I'm better. But now it's like,
hey, you stay home from school.
I wake up and it's like, oh, my ankle hurts.
Uh-huh.
That's weird.
Yeah.
And also I feel like allergic, but I don't usually have allergies.
Mm-hmm.
And also I fart every time I move. Are these related? Is this some sort of crazy illness that I have now that I'm 30? What's happening?
It's fascinating because like, I think that is kind of very pervasive in Generation Z because it's kind of thing when I was in college, you remember when I fell off that building and broke my ass?
Yeah.
I kind of remembered tangentially that every time I went to the gym and did a workout where I did like a torso rotation, like a trunk rotation thing, I would have to go to the bathroom and collapse on the floor for about an hour because I suddenly was losing all the blood to my head and arms. And legs.
You never went to the doctor for that.
And I never went to the doctor. I went to the bathroom and I let it take care of itself. And then when I felt better, I went right back to working out again. Like, and I never, in my head, I never went like, maybe I should go to the doctor for this. It was like, no. It'll pass. I'm sure this horrible spinal trauma that I did when I fell from a two-story building onto my ass has nothing to do with this incredible, horrific, almost dying feeling. You know,
well, there is that like feeling of invincibility when you're young where it's like, sucks for them, but I'm not going to go through that. Like, there's this mentality of just like, won't be me. I don't know how else to explain other than that.
But that's the thing. It's like, I did not feel invincible when it was happening. I was like, man, I think I'm dying. Never did it occur to me to go to the doctor. Not once.
Well, doctors cost money.
Yeah.
Let's be clear.
Obamacare hadn't passed yet, so I was not about to go take care of my health.
Even still, anytime I feel anything, and this is just a side effect of growing up in the medical system that we have, I can absolutely afford to go to the doctor. Like, I'm an adult now. We have health insurance.
Yeah.
Not that it does very much, but I could, if I was really serious, I could absolutely at any whim be like, ooh, I don't feel so good. Maybe I'll get this checked out. And still, I think like, oh, I don't feel so good. I don't know if I need to go to the doctor though.
Yeah.
I don't know if I need that bill. Mm-hmm. How is this worth? Is this a $3,000 illness?
Yeah.
I don't know. What if they order a scan?
Yeah.
What if I go in and they're like, oh, you need a CT? And I'm like, ah, no. I want to have kids. I got car payments.
There's definitely enough like things that come up. Like I have like heartburn. If I eat like past a certain point in the night, I know I'm going to be miserable laying there with like heartburn and acid reflux and all of that.
Yeah.
So I just have like a random pain. I remember just a few days ago, the right side of my rib cage, I had like a pain in for like 2 or 3 days. And I was like, if this persists long enough, I guess I'll go in. Yeah. But like, but that stuff always happens. It's always part of you. It's aching. And it's like, is this the one I'm going to go and spend $600 on? Do I want to live or do I want to be able to afford food? I got to choose between the
two. I've had that. I forget what it was. It was like from tour or something. I got back from like when we did the live show or for a convention and like one of my, you know, like my knee hurt, like I twisted it or something. And I was like, for a while, I was like, this keeps going. Maybe I'll get this checked out. It was like a month later. I was like, it still kind of hurts. Not that bad. If this keeps going, maybe I'll have to get it checked out. Like,
yeah.
I could go on indefinitely.
Yeah.
Well, did they cure him, Mr. Semen Shitter?
It just says they did some investigation and found that he'd been in a 3-week coma 2 years prior due to drug intoxication. And they said the result was that it was a fistula, which is an abnormal separation or connection between two supposedly separate organs.
Oh, I know about fistulas. I watch Grey's Anatomy.
Can a fistula be comprised of teratoma?
Not really.
No, a teratoma might cause a fistula, maybe.
Yeah, okay, maybe.
Maybe.
Can a teratoma bridge two organs and then, like, turn into a pathway between the two?
I mean...
I turned around and the teratoma had fistulaed my inner... Had
fistulaed my ass? What is that? What did you just say?
I said innards, but could fistula my ass, I guess.
Anyway,
what'd you do last night? I got fistula.
I think that's enough reminiscing about how old we are and how sad that is.
I turned around and my whole life was behind me.
I turned around and it was a zoomer on their cell phone taking a picture of me. It wouldn't be a picture, let's be honest. It would be a TikTok.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Obviously.
You're right. They took a Polaroid.
But thank you. Thank you for walking with me down a memory lane. Lane. Mm-hmm. Crotchety though we may be.
We gotta go back.
I gave Mark points for that first story, and you told us kind of a story. I don't know, you earned some amount of points. I feel like Mark really dominated the contributions in this.
You know, I came to win today. I came to dominate today.
You did, man.
I was so fucking ready.
I feel like I'm getting fistulated right now.
I was so fucking ready.
You said you were ready, and you proved it. And you know what, Mark?
Yeah.
You earned the dub. Mark wins.
Thank you. I did deserve this. I did.
You guys should go to the doctor right now, because all I hear is shit coming out of your mouths.
I deserve this. I worked hard for this, and I will be such an incredible judge next round.
Thank you, gentle listeners, so much for listening to this episode of Distractable. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mark and Wade, for joining me.
Thank you.
Find them at their social medias, youtube.com/those guys, Mark Blyer, LordMinion777, Twitch probably. Mm-hmm. You find me on Facebook. fb.gg/Meisker.
Yes.
You don't know how to spell that, so it's meaningless, but, you know, check it out or whatever. That's going to be the end of the episode. Mark wins. Wade is sad.
Thank you.
Excellent round, everybody.
Excellent. Excellent.
Go round. To the doctor if you're weird.
If you're weird.
And with that sound medical advice out of the way, podcast out!